This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud?
Morning, welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Hour number three already. Man, time's flying by today. And let's go down south, probably Port Mansfield, I would guess, this morning, and check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz. Rihanna, what's up?
What's up, Mickey? How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good, man.
Are you ready for these cold fronts?
No.
I sure am. I'm ready for the water temperature to drop down.
Well, y'all could use a water temperature drop to get y'all's fish going again.
It's
well,
mid-60s.
You know, and up here too, it our bite kind of fell off from the warm water too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's reaching up to upper 60s midday, close to 70. I mean, it's warm, and of course where I'm fishing, way up shallow, knee deep water, it's hot. Once the afternoon gets, you know, comes around, it's warm.
Wear hip boots instead of waders if you're wading that shallow.
we almost shedded our waders earlier this week. I mean, it was so hot. The wind had lied down. And, of course, I was wearing a black shirt. And I thought, man,
that's
bad.
Never good when it's hot.
Yeah. I was like, this is a bad decision on my part. It's totally my fault. But, yeah, it was hot. But, you know, our bite, you know, around this full moon, it's always a little tough.
Yeah, that moon hurts y'all way worse than it does us.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Isn't that weird? I don't understand that. I never have.
I'll never quite understand it, Mickey. You know, the day that I figure it out is probably the day that I'll be, you know, pretty close to gone.
Well,
you know, it's going to take a long time
to
figure that out.
You got a formula for it, you can become a millionaire, you know.
I know it. That would be something, wouldn't it? But, yeah
I'm telling you.
That moon, it really affects the bite, you know, this time of month. And, you know, the window is very, very short on the bite. But I will say later in the afternoon, I've been hearing some folks have been catching some good ones late in the afternoon.
Right.
And I will say, you know, when I'm running errands between 6 and 8 o'clock at night, that's when I see them deer. Their heads down, they're feeding. That's why I see those Nell guy, they're out there feeding. The late miner, which right now is around, 8 o'clock, but earlier in the week, from 6 to 8, that seems like when all the wildlife was out, feeding. But in the morning, our bites been pretty early off in the morning around, between 6:30 and 8 o'clock, and it was a small window around this time of month, around this full moon, which I tend to get a little discouraged when our bite slows down. I get out there, I start getting bored, then I'll start wanting to move, and the way I think about it, if they're not biting here, what would make me think they're biting over there? It all works together. At least from what I truly think, and believe. I think they all just, when the bite's not on, they're just not biting. They're not feeding. They're just sitting on bottom. And the barometric pressure was super high. There was cobwebs hanging off the rods and my boat. And I was like, man, I could feel it in my sinuses, too.
Yeah, that's a kiss of death in shallow water is a high barometer, man.
Yep. Yeah, and, I was throwing that space dust, that Little John, for a long time.
Hey, I got some in. I finally got my package. Boy, those are fine looking. I can't wait to dip some with some white tail dip.
Oh, man, that's going to make a mean looking lure.
Oh,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, the water here has been kind of chalked up, because we've been having some higher winds. And even up shallow, fishing that scattered grass beds out there, and that turtle grass is still really thick when you run your lure through it, so the water's been a little bit chalky, and so we're still throwing darker baits up shallow, and that space dust just dusting it off the edges of those grass beds. And earlier this week, the wind had died down one day, and I just, I had just switched over. I was throwing a watermelon gold glitter, and I just switched over to the space dust because it was a smaller profile. And I thought, it's later and getting close to the afternoon, barometer's high, wind's lying down. Maybe if I just downsize, they'll maybe persuade them to bite it. And caught a couple redfish. This one fish, she came up and bowled right underneath it and missed her, She obviously came up for it and liked what she saw for a minute, and just I don't know if maybe I just worked it a little bit too fast, or she just liked what she saw and swiped at it, but it was a missed bite. She barely caught the tail end of that lure. But other than that, most of the fish that we've been catching, solid 4 to 5 pounders. We didn't catch any really big ones this week. Lots of reds, they're hanging around in schools right now. A lot of the reds that I'm seeing, they're
right up behind. They're schooling.
Yeah, they are. They sure are. And I'll tell you this, our bite's been pretty tough that I've sight casted in those schools of reds, just because I'll get bored and I'm like, just a bite, just to feel a little bite every once in a while. I'll throw in that school, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. They just kept on trucking along. And then saw two singular redfish that were just cruising along through right in front of them. They didn't want it. So I thought, man, if those redfish aren't biting, that kind of tells you how the bite is right now. It was, this week has been tough. And when it gets like that, you can get discouraged. It's really easy to get discouraged when the bite gets like that. And, I have people and clients that ask me, what do you do? What do you do whenever it gets like that? I'm like, man, there's only one thing you can do. You just keep casting, stay confident. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. I mean, it's easy to give up. It's real easy just to put that pole back in the rod holder in your boat, sit around and have a drink and have lunch and wait for the late afternoon bite. I said, there's times when I'll go out with friends of mine and the bite will get like that, and I'll say, let's just go in and get a burger and come back out later. And then I'm thinking to myself, any cast now, any cast could be a good bite, you know? And so for me, it's the hope that keeps me going. You know, I truly believe that any cast can be a good one. For some folks, it's hard. It's hard to be patient and stay in one area and dissect it completely. And oftentimes, you know, if I'm fishing with a buddy of mine, I'll tend to move around a little bit. But if I've got clients and I see what I want to see, plenty of bait, in which, mind you, not there is a bunch of shrimp back in our bays, and they're up shallow.
Right.
And ideal profile size mullet, finger mullet. So, you know, that goes to show that our water temperature is warming up pretty fast, and it's promoting a lot of positive activity way up shallow. And I mean, knee deep for me is a foot and a half. You know, it's we're fishing shallow water, and that's about where those big trout are and those redfish too. And so, you know, I'll see an area where there's good structure, which, you know me, I favor sand scattered grass beds this time of year. I love working, you know, those little ambush points around those grass beds. And oftentimes there will be a couple of floating grass mats close by, you know. And this time of year, you know, when we get these little lower tides, those grass mats really come out. And you can see them. And so, you know, you'll see those white pelicans just floating around them, and you'll see them diving their heads down, and they're feeding on, I guess, little crustaceans or whatnot. I see them spit water out. They'll dive their beak in the water, and then they'll spit out water. It's really neat. And they'll all bunch up like 5 to 6 of those white pelicans, and they're over there feeding around those grass mats. And so I always tell my guys, you know, that ask me this question, you know, why do you stay in one area so long, and what makes you believe that there's fish here? You know, what goes through your mind whenever you decide to stab down and get out and then not move, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, and a lot of it is based on previous data that has been collected over, you know, over the years and over fishing similar conditions and similar days. And that's what kind of, that's really the base of my belief on whenever I stab down. You know, there's bait flicking on the edge of that grass bed. There's, you know, there's a line of pelicans on the same line for, you know, as long as I can see out there in knee deep water. You know, there's birds diving. There's, you know, just several things that make me believe that we can stab down here and make a good wade, and somebody's going to catch a good trout, or there's a possibility that one of us is going to stick a good one. And so that's basically how I try to sum it up to folks, you know, and fishing your eyes. And that's how it is down here in Mansfield, more than of course Baffin. We're fishing our eyes down here. You know, I'll see a pelican diving, and I'm like, it's hard to pass it up. You know, it's hard to keep on moving. You know, I always say, why move to go find fish when you're already, you know, on fish? You know, you don't need to leave the fish to go find fish, you know? And, I always try to, especially during tournaments, you know, and, I'll try to stay in one area, pick out a good area that I know that can produce good bites throughout the whole entire day, where you can wade for a long period of time, where there's plenty of real estate to cover, especially if you've got a line of four guys, and that's not including yourself. You need a lot of room to spread out. You know, sometimes I'll get some taller wade fishermen, and maybe we'll be on a little drop off or an area where it gets a little bit deeper in one area, and put them out there on that deep area, and then I'll be way up shallower. Typically I'll just stay in the middle, and in case somebody sticks one, and I'll be close enough to go either to the right or left and take a picture or whatnot. But you know, I love being able to work an area thoroughly like that. And I get some folks that say, man, you don't really hardly move at all. You know, I'm like, well, you don't really have to. And, you know, in Mansfield, you have that luxury of being able to stick in one area and all day long. And if you're out there to limit out on trout, that's easy to do. Redfish, they're right there. You know, right. I mean, you have water flow, you've got tidal movement there. You know, that's one thing that we don't have in Bassin, you know? And so even if there is no tidal movement till, you know, later on in the day, or maybe it was super early in the morning, you know, you've got the wind to look forward to. And, you know, there's certain areas that you can just set up just right and get after it, you know?
Yeah. Let me knock this break out, Rihanna. And I got a question from you for our listener when we come back. I'll be right back to you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:20 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back.
All righty.
I had a listener text me wanting to know said, hey, Captain, can you ask her the best way to fish the grass so you don't hook the grass? Stay out of the grass.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's a tough one right there.
It is tough. So when the wind is blowing, it rows that grass up. You know, it bunches up in rows, and oftentimes I will cast right in between them.
In the lanes, between
them. In those lanes.
Yes.
And, of course, if you're working a Little John, or plastic, just with a 30-second or 1/16-ounce hook, you just have to work the middle column. You know, find the rhythm, the twitch, keep your rod tip up to where you're, you know, working the middle column, and of course, if the wind's blowing, that's even a little bit more to your benefit with the floating grass. You can just throw right in between those rows. But of course, when it's bunched up and there's not a lot of wind, you know, you can see them and off in the distance. But it's hard not to hook into a couple of blades of grass out there in Mansfield.
Right.
This time of year, when we get these cold fronts, it's colder, you know, it's not as bad, especially up in that sand-scattered grass. That sand-scattered grass bed, it's not as bad up there. Now, you start getting into that grass-scattered sand pockets, it's a little bit, that grass tends to be a little bit, that floating grass tends to be a little bit worse out there. I try to pick the areas where I stab down where, you know, there's not a whole lot of grass. And luckily this time of year, you can get away with it. Now in the summer, spring, late spring, summer, late fall, it gets bad.
Oh, it gets real bad. You know what I do when I come down there? Once I get so frustrated and tired of reeling in a head of lettuce every now and then, and, you know, always having blades on your hook, I'll switch over to one of those worm weights like the bass guys use and rig them weedless, like with a rat tail bait, like a Bass Assassin, you know, 5-inch shad, and work it like that. And then you just have clean cast every time. You're not grassing up, and you'll get more bites when you do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just barely let the tip of that hook come out and lay on top of that bait where it won't grab anything. And then when the fish takes the bait and bites down, and when you set the hook comes through the bait and grabs her lip or mouth or whatever, you know.
What brand hook is that again, Mickey?
Man, they're red hooks. I'm trying to remember the. I ordered them. Man, I forget who I got those from. But James and I got hung up on those about 3 or 4 years ago where we were fishing real heavy shell and stuff. And you had to get on bottom to catch a trout out of that, you know, those rocks and shell and stuff.
Right.
And I just started using those worm weights and just skipping them through those pig ears and those oysters. And, oh, man, it was a game changer.
What's the weight on those?
You can get them with, there's one hook that the lead is, you know, it's molded to the hook, you know, going down towards the turn. And it's, I think you can get a 16th, you can get an 8th. And if you need something lighter than that, we just rig them Texas rig, you know, weedless, like you'd bass fish with, you know.
It works, you know.
Yeah, you know what else is cool about it? Is your bait, when it falls, it doesn't fall head first. It falls, the whole body just sinks together in motion.
Yeah, see.
And sometimes the fish like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll tell you this. You know, I love the Corky Devil and the Paul Brown with the treble. And so I've been trying to find a hook compatible to the Devil Blanks. And I haven't found one yet, but I stopped by the Mirror Lure booth yesterday and talked with Mr. Herring and Phil over there, and they sent me off with a couple of hooks that I think might work. But I've been trying to find a hook that I like. You know, I mean, a friend of mine, she gave me a couple of hooks paired with the Devil Blanks, and you know, the way I work the Devil Blank is pretty much like I would work a little John XL, you know. I just want to dust it off bottom, and so I work it like a soft plastic. And so I'm looking for a hook that's compatible to the way that I want to work that specific lure. And so I have tried some hooks here recently, and you know, that bait started jumping out of the water, you know, and it wasn't suspending the way I wanted it to. It didn't have enough weight to really pull the bottom base of that lure down, like how the Corky Devil does with that treble hook. You know, that treble hook really just balances out that bait perfectly to where when you work it, that hook is kind of pulling it downwards, you know. And so I'm really confident. I have a lot of confidence with the Paul Brown Corky Devils with the trebles.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to find a hook that will kind of be compatible with the Devil Blank.
Yeah, look for some, you know, check some bass websites, you know, where they have those offset hooks for rigging weedless like that. Yum. And I'm surprised, you know, y'all don't use a lot of this stuff down that way. Yum makes like a shad bait, you know, a big soft plastic. They make a giant one and a medium size. And they come with the hooks. They even come with a little weight you can spear in there to give them some extra weight if you need it. And,
oh, wow, yeah.
I've got some of those, and I used to use them a lot red fishing where I needed to get into cover like that where I didn't want to hang up. They work great. And I know Yum makes those, and I had real good luck with redfish and bigger trout being able to fish that real hard structure like that to keep from hanging up, and then winch those big fish out of it, especially grass or rocks, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I got several hooks yesterday.
James texted me, said that hook that we were using, or I've still got a ton of them. It's H&H is the brand that makes them.
Okay.
H&H.
Okay.
It's got a red hook on it. It's pretty cool. They're really good hooks too.
If you have a picture of one of those, send me one whenever.
Yeah, I'll take a picture of them, send them to you. You'll like it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my comfort zone with those blanks. I love throwing a Corky Devil, and you know, I had gotten out of throwing them for a while, and You know, when I get on to throwing certain baits or certain profiles, I'll gain confidence with them. And then I'm like, why change what works? Well, you know, like I said, last week I had that Porky Devil sitting on the table for the longest time. And I thought, man, you know, and those Porky Devils, whenever they decide to bite on them, they tend to choke them down. It's a fully committed bite. I don't know what it is about it, but most of the bites that I get on Corky Devils are just fully committed thumps, and they come. I mean, the mortality rate, they do, and that's the only downfall about them. But I had gotten to the point where I was like, I want a fully committed bite. If a trout decides to thump my lure, I want her to get hooked, and that's the bait that I go to whenever.
Well,
that
it just sits there in front of them. They can't take it. You know, you get to let it go down and get to twitching it and stopping it and starting it. And when you stop it, and it's just sitting there momentarily. I mean, all they do is just swim up behind it, and just suck it in, man.
Yeah,
big time.
And it goes in head first, which that's where that hook is, kind of towards the front end of that bait. And sure enough, you know, that last 7-pounder I caught last week or a week and a half ago, she just fully committed to it, and that's what I wanted. But, you know, I'm trying to find, like I said, a comfort zone with those blanks, and I love all those colors. They're just so beautiful.
You know, Blaine and I were fishing a tournament series years back. I think it was in the late 90s, and one of our stops was at Port Isabel, and we didn't know much about that area down there. I fished a few places with Gilbert Vila and stuff back in the day, but we just couldn't find any big trout, so we ran north up to Mansfield, and we found some really big fish in Horsehead Cove.
And,
but that was the problem. We got in there, and it was so calm, and the sun was out, and that water was so clear in there. When we'd throw a topwater in the air, just the shadow off the lure would blow the trout up. You could see them just V off everywhere and spook. We fought that all morning long. We went back to the boat to get a snack and drink something. And I got to dig around in my bag, and I found some worm hooks that I bass fish with. Weedless worm hooks, the old eagle claws that had the little weeder on them, that you like a spring that fits around the hook, not across the barb, just the tip of the hook to keep you from grassing up with no weight. And I Texas rigged some bass assassins, and hey, we lit them up.
Golden ticket there.
Hey, I just all I have was some red shad in the bag, because we're down there fishing for big trout, trying to throw big baits and everything, and we had to downsize. We figured that out the first day, and man, you could throw that bait up in there and it wouldn't even splash hardly, and you'd twitch it through that grass and then drop it off in a pothole, and here we go, we're on them.
And, game on.
And we had to get on our knees. If you stood up and the fish would profile you, they'd see you, they'd spook. But if you stayed on your knees, and I told Blaine, I said, man, look at the size of these rays in here. I said, if I step on a ray with my knee, he's going to, hit me in the stomach. That's how we had to figure it out, doing, just going back to something stupid like that. Well, it wasn't stupid then. I mean, it put us on the board. Got us where we needed to be, to stay
in
contention.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It is amazing how spooky those trout can be, and that's one reason why I absolutely hate clear water. I can't stand clear water.
I know.
And it's, it puts me out of my comfort zone. I'll admit it. It puts me out of my comfort zone. I avoid it like the
plague.
Makes
you glad to go back to baffing, huh?
Yeah, it does. I look for that.
Gin clear water, man.
Yeah, especially if there's, like you said, there's no wind, it's slick calm, and, barometer's high, anything.
Oh, man, I used to come down there and fish. Blaine and I would go down and spend a few days and fish with old Bob Fuchs and Red Bandana, and he was a great guy, and we'd wade and wade, and, oh, man, you get a shot here or a shot there. I mean, those fish are just, you know, we're up there knee deep, which we were totally out of our comfort zone. We're used to wading in Galveston Bay. Everything's, you know, between your knees and your waist. We finally figured out how to catch them. We stopped at a place. We kept driving by, and I said, I think it was the saucers. We kept driving by there. Bob would drive by, and I said, man, what about all them slicks in there? Oh, no, man, that's stingrays and all that. That's a ray hole. And he said, I've been stuck three times waiting in there. I said, well, hey, I tell you what, I don't know what you guys are looking for out here in the open, but drop me and Blaine off on that shoreline. So he slides us in there and drops us off, and he said, you got to throw a gold weedless spoon, so we'd get out with those. We'd catch a couple. I said, man, we're not reaching these fish. They're staying way ahead of us. I'd watch them pop a slick. Hey, I put on a bone-jumping minnow. This is way back in the day. And I threw it as far as I could, and before I could get my reel clicked in gear, I got a 7-pounder on. I'm going, here we go. And that was the magic bait that whole week we were there, bone jumping minnows. And that's
what time of the year was that, Mickey?
That was in like May. It was summertime. Wow. It was hot.
It was warm.
Yeah.
Water temperature was warm.
We were waiting in shorts, man, you know, in T-shirts. Oh, let me knock this break out. I'll come right back at you. Hang on a second.
All right.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Folks, if you're looking for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, look no further than the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And when you're at the store, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it, along with bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage and wholesale smoked sausage pricing. That's available for your rodeo cook-off teams. 250-pound orders or larger, just call and ask for Ben. He'll hook you up. And bone-in center cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound, 10-pound limit per customer. And their wild game processing, check out their new sausage available. You got to try it. It's really good. Get you some deer tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 639 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we are back.
All righty.
That was a fun trip when we all went down there. It was me and Blaine, Doug Bird, and Bob Fuest, and all of us fishing together. That was some good times. Back in the day.
That sounds like a great time.
Oh, yeah. Bob's wife took such good care of us, you know, and cooking for us, and we just had a blast. We even took the kids down there and turned them loose and drove everybody crazy, so it was fun.
Y'all didn't stay in Mansfield. Y'all stayed somewhere else and just drove in by boat to Mansfield, or how'd y'all do
We stayed in Mansfield. Bob and Fran lived right there on the water, and they had a rent house. They had several of them that they had rent out. Mm-hmm. She would. And we stayed in the one next to their house.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, it was first class, man. The kids would go crazy. They'd set their alarms at 3 in the morning and get up and get out on that pier from 4 o'clock till daylight and catch all them pencil trout off the derrick, you know, off the pier under the lights. And they had a blast.
That's the life. Yeah, that's the life there. Yeah, you know, I've been in Mansfield since mid-December. I haven't fished Baffin since about mid-December, right after I left. So, you know, I sometimes get that itch to just come back and come back here to my, you know, home waters and start fishing. I won't be back until late March. And been seeing some good ones being pulled out, you know, from here in Baffin. And so that, and when I start seeing the pictures, I'm like, because I know last year, you know, we got a lot of rainfall, and it promoted a lot of positive activity, you know, for our little estuaries that come into the to Baffin, you know, from
right.
Kingsville and up on the west side. But the year before that, we were in that drought, you know, and water was real, the tide was real low, our, you know, water levels were low. We had high barometric pressure over us for a while, and, you know, we just didn't have a whole lot of low pressure systems like we did last year. And so I was talking to a couple of guys, you know, several weeks ago about this, about how, you know, seeing all this positive activity and all the fresh water and as well as these high tides that we've had from these low pressure systems that came into the Gulf last year,
mm-hmm.
it promoted a lot of positive growth in Baffin as far as grass.
Right.
There's areas that have grass that did not have grass the year before that. And I was telling some folks, I was like, you know, it really gets me excited because in the wintertime, that grass will hold bait and it's going to hold trout. And so I've been seeing a lot more numbers of trout being pulled in from, you know, out of Baffin than I was the year before that, you know? And so
yeah.
That really just, it excites me for, you know, these upcoming months, March, April, May. I guarantee we're going to see some toads being pulled out from the back. I mean, hell, I know last year and around, I think it was around October, November, somebody pulled a 10 pounder out, you know, out of there. I mean, so they still exist, and the genetics that are back here as far as the trout that live here is just unreal. I mean, you know, and I always tell folks that they're like, well, you know, what makes the trout so special here? I'm like, well, because they live here. Everything that they need is here. Everything they need to thrive is here. You know, when you start seeing that green mossy stuff in Baffin, you know, in the back, it gets
yeah,
real,
that green slime. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you start seeing that, you know, it seems like that's when you start seeing a lot of more finger mullet. You start seeing, you know, I don't know what it is about that stuff that just makes me think that of positive things, you know. And not only that, but all the grass that has been growing back there, as far as, you know, that hasn't been growing back there, just, you know, I guess because of the high salinity levels back there. I know one year, I think it was in 2022, late 2022, you know, our water level was really low, and I would go, sometimes I wouldn't even fish. I would just run around and look and watch and see, you know, where people were fishing, if there was anybody, you know, mm-hmm. fishing certain areas. And by the end of that boat ride, when I came in, there was a layer of salt on my boat and on my hands, and I didn't even get in the water.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really humid too, but, you know, our salinity level was really, really high.
I remember that Cliff telling me about it too, how salty it was. It was unreal, man.
It was unreal. And, you know, oftentimes I'll just, you know, I'll take my finger and I'll taste test it, you know, because I'm just curious like that. And so I know I did it that year. It was unbelievably salty. And so whenever we started that year, the water was real murky looking, almost brownish. You know, of course, with that southeast wind howling like it does, it really murks up the water here in Baffin, where there's areas where there's not a whole lot of grass. It's primarily hard-packed sand. And
yeah.
It stirs that up, and it makes it muddy. It looks nasty, you know. Well, you know, now there's some areas where there was just nothing but hard packed sand. There's a little bit of grass there, and the grass is not it's not really it doesn't look like it's shoal grass, but it has that mossy stuff look to it. You know, it looks
yeah.
a little slimy, a little green slime. And I'm like, that stuff just looks. It makes it look like big trout water. You know, you have that deep emerald green. It has that deep emerald green tint to it. And so, you know, seeing that and seeing it happen over time, it really, really makes me think that we're going to have a stellar spring
you know, whenever those big mama trout decide to, you know, when they start spawning and they start feeding real heavily. And of course, you know, here in Baffin, it's primarily mullet driven. And this time of year, you know, you see a lot of really, really big mullet, horse mullet, you know, and sometimes, yeah. You know, if that's on the menu, that's what they're going to eat for the day, you know, and they'll gorge themselves. And
they will, and a lot of times they'll fill their stomach cavity up good to put pressure on that egg sac so they can get rid
right.
of them. They can squirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they have the males, you know, to accommodate them. They get the male trout,
right.
of course, you know how
absolutely.
That all works.
So I don't know if this is true or not, but here's what I've seen in the past and when they're spawning. They will get this red scarage on their bottom. Is it true that they hit themselves on, like, hard structure to release
that? And sometimes the males will nose them and knock the eggs out of their stomachs, too, so they can fertilize them.
Yeah, that's what I, you know, because I was thinking they don't get that red scarage there for no reason.
You know,
and of course,
and 99% of the spawns, it all happens at nighttime. And Florida Fish and Wildlife did a hell of a study on that years back with microphones in the water at nighttime on spawning flats mm-hmm. where trout would pull in to spawn. But I witnessed a spawn in the middle of the day on a full moon on an incoming tide on Deep Reef in East Bay. I had one guy, and it was John. Anyway, I drew a blank. But long story short, there was rafts of mullet. The mullet were spawning, too. But with these big rafts of mullet, we had troll motor down the edges of them. You could see these big, huge females laying underneath the mullet. And you could pitch to them all day long and could not catch them. But the male trout that would come up to service the female, they would always be about half her size. And mm-hmm. they would bite. You could catch them.
Yeah.
But they were actually, they would turn over on their side and almost invert and squirt the eggs. The female would be pointing north and the male would be pointing south or
wow.
east or west. You know, the opposite, you know, where where he could shoot the sperm on the eggs coming out of her.
Right. Wow.
And, I mean, that was, I'll tell
wow.
you, he was fishing next to me. Well, he's about a couple of hundred yards away, but he saw the same thing. It was old Kenny Cambiano. He had a trip that day, too, and we went
Witness
through the same thing.
One.
Yeah, and finally,
wow.
my guy, John, he caught one a little over 8 pounds. And
gosh.
you know, out of that, he finally fooled one of them to eat. I mean, I don't know how many males we caught. We were catching them good. But they were all mm-hmm. ganged up around those females laying under those mullets spawning.
Yeah.
It was a perfect setup, dead calm, full moon, you know, clear water. You could see it all in 8 feet of water over a
gosh,
reef.
That is incredible.
How about that?
That is one. Yeah, that is an amazing sight to see and witness. I can't even imagine.
yeah,
That's
that
incredible.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. I've never seen that, but I can just imagine just the awe and shock I would be in if I did witness it with my own eyes.
Well, I was I was in shock just by, you know, it was daytime, middle of the day. It was like
right.
noontime. And, you know, I'd always heard from all the studies, most of that went on at nighttime, especially on an incoming tide, full moon, that kind of setup
right.
where once the eggs are fertilized, they travel, you know, upstream and pushed upstream
right.
with the incoming tide into the estuary, you know.
Hmm.
Pretty
Gosh.
Cool.
That is pretty cool. That's a neat little story. Cool deal. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for springtime here in Baffin. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I'm like, I wish March would be here already. Not that
yeah.
the fishing hasn't been great in Mansfield. It's great. But I'm ready to just hone in on catching, you know, upper-class trout. You know, we're catching a lot of, you know, 5 to 6 pounders, 4 to 6 pounders in Mansfield, but I want to get into that 7 to 8 range. And,
get some
and I know
March
that,
monsters going, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of a guy's name, John Nobles, that was fishing with me. He was by himself. I remember that now.
Wow. Yep. I hate when that happens. And believe me, it happens to me, and I'm young. Where I'm just
well,
I'm trying to
just
think of
wait.
Something. Oh, boy.
Just wait. Yeah. Well, at least I can remember what lure I was throwing the last time I changed lures, at least, you know.
Yeah.
I can remember how to get back to the dock. No, it's not that bad yet. I'm just making fun.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So a buddy of mine sent me a video of my boat that's being built right now. And so, man, I can't wait to get in that new Haney. She's sitting pretty in Aransas Pass waiting on me. And still trying to get mine sold.
You haven't sold your other one yet? I figured you'd already sold that boat.
Not yet. No, I think, you know, it's kind of a weird time. It's cold. You know, you get these little cold fronts. You know, hunting season just ended. You know, it's kind of a weird time. You know, tax season is in full swing. I think once it starts to get a little bit warmer, those patterns, you know, springtime patterns start to come in and get more consistent, and then tax returns.
Because that's a nice boat you're running. What kind of cat is it?
It's a 23 cat, yeah, with a 250 Merc. She's done me well. I love that boat. I mean, nothing wrong with it. Just, you know, I'm ready for an upgrade, and she's served me well fishing the Lower Laguna in Mansfield and in Baffin. Man, she can get up skinny and handle that chop very well. You know, like southeast wind in Baffin, she handles it very well. So she'll make somebody else very happy one day. So
maybe somebody listening today will call you about that boat. You never know.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, you never know.
One thing I've found out in this business, somebody's always in need of a new boat, another boat.
Absolutely.
Cliff and I, one day we were trying to count how many boats we've had in our careers over the years, and we couldn't count all of them. Gosh.
I'm sure it's plenty, a lot of them, yeah.
Because you'd have your guide boat and a tournament boat, and you'd have, you know, you'd have two and three at a time. Insurance poor.
Gosh.
Just paying for insurance on all of them. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's not cheap.
No.
I know that for a fact.
Well, it's a good addiction.
It's a good addiction. It's worth it.
It is. It's a disease.
It's way better than anything else.
Well, that's true. It's better for you.
Yeah.
Not for your pocketbook, but it's better for you, you know?
Yeah, mentally and emotionally, for sure.
Right.
But, I can't wait to bring her home. She's beautiful, all black. She's gonna have a 250 Mercury Verado on it. Chris Coulter.
Oh, it's gonna be pretty. I love black boats. That's my tournament boats. I always had were black.
Yeah, this one's all black. I wanted to get a black deck, but Chris is like,
no,
man,
that'll
that's
burn you up, man. You'll fry that in the summertime.
I went, well, I'm not going to be on the boat much anyways. He said, believe me, you're not. You're going to regret it.
You won't like it. The glare. Oh, man. You look like a potato chip at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Fried.
Got to put on two layers of sunscreen.
just for starters.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, here lately, even though it's technically winter time. Man, I'm still getting burned up out there on the water.
Oh yeah.
I'll take my, you know, my shirt off, and I'll have a defined line right across my wrist, and I'm like, gosh, I'm getting sunburned out there, and it's February, you know. It's crazy how the conditions are.
Yeah, I wore my monkey gloves fishing so much last year that my hands were tan just from the middle of your joints on the end of your fingers. It looked really weird. I said, that just doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right. Yeah, the tips of my fingers are darker than the rest of my hands.
Exactly. All right, Rihanna. Well, hon, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing Baffin or Mansfield, whatever's up and going, how do they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at 361-296-5400. If you want to make a wade in Mansfield or Baffin, give me a call.
Got it. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure. You have a good Sunday, what's left of it, and I'll talk to you next week. You be safe.
You as well, Mickey. Great talking to you. Later.
Stay warm. All right. Later.
Well,
all right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.